I want you to think of this. What's the picture of Jesus that comes to your mind? What's the picture that you have of Jesus? I wonder if you could do this. Could you look to the person beside you, ask them this question. How would you describe Jesus? If you could come up with like three or four words, what words come to mind when you think about Jesus? What are the description words? Talk to him beside you. We'll come back in a second. Okay. All right. Let's get back, because some of you are just talking about how awesome of a week you've had or how good their new haircut looks. I don't know what you're talking about, but what are some words? Somebody shout out a word or two. When you think about Jesus, what comes to your brain? What things describe him? Father, what? Somebody else. I heard it. Gentle, forgiving. Yep, that's good. Safe, that's good. Anybody else? Holy, yeah. When you think about Jesus, I don't know about this, but there's lots of pictures that come to your brain when you think about Jesus. There's lots of pictures, and I think sometimes we have the wrong pictures. I've shared some similar things to this before, but maybe you have a picture of Jesus, and he's something like this. He's this, like, holy person you can't touch and looks a little too perfect that you don't want to trust him. Or you think he's like this Catholic kind of thing, that he's this kind of religious figure that people have talked about for eons. And that's the picture you have of Jesus. Or maybe you have this, like, I don't know, blonde hair, blue eyes, kind of masculine look of Jesus. Or maybe you have the picture of The Chosen. And honestly, if you've never seen The Chosen, I think that's a great show to watch to kind of get some picture around it. But maybe that's your understanding and your idea of who Jesus is. Maybe for you, it's not that. Your picture of Jesus, I love this, is this. He's like creeping around the corner. I saw that. Like, he's just like Santa Claus in the sky, like watching out for you, right? Or maybe you think he's just kind of cool. Or maybe you think Jesus, you know, when I think about Jesus, he's like a rock star and looks like soccer and Iron Man mix. I don't know. But one of the pictures I came across that I thought was quite amusing that I wanted to share with you is when I think about Jesus, somebody accidentally typed in Christ Pratt instead of Chris Pratt when in AI and was not disappointed. Look at that. Look at that. I love that. We have been walking through the last, you're going to have to change that slide because they're just going to keep looking at it. I'm going to get distracted by it. We're going to start talking about dinosaurs. It's not going to be good. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Whatever comes to your mind when you think about Jesus, I think it's really important. The last 7 weeks together, what we have been doing is we've been walking through a series, Letters from Jesus. And this is what we've said, is that Jesus had these seven letters tucked in the book of Revelation, which sometimes can be a scary book or a book you're like, man, I'm not sure how to get my head around that. But these seven letters are on the front end. And a lot of times what we think is that Jesus just has something he wanted to say to them and then. But we've said this, that Jesus did have something he wanted to say to those churches back then, but Jesus has something he wants to say to you and I right now. I challenged you week one. I said, if Jesus were to write you a letter in the season that you're in right now, what do you think he might say? And over the last several weeks, what we have done is we've just simply said, Jesus has written some letters and he's told people, you need to wake up. You've gotten sleepy with your faith. You need to repent. You've gotten lost in your sin. You need to come back to your love because you all of a sudden started working for me, but you stopped loving me. And some of the letters have gone like this. I know following me has been so hard through everything you're suffering and what you're dealing with, but you need to keep going and have faith and trust me. So if God were to write you a letter, what would he say? And my hope throughout this whole series, it's been fun because I've been tuning into the podcast, getting the chance to listen as different guys throughout have been able to share with you. It's been challenging for me. My hope is it's been challenging for you. That somehow God maybe has written the letter, so to speak. But if we could, for a minute, I actually want to go backwards to Revelation 1. The letters start in Revelation 2 and go on to 3. But I want to go back to Revelation 1 because I don't want to look at a letter tonight. What I want to do is I want to look to the letter writer tonight. I want us, as we close out this series, because you could think, man, we're just kind of looking at the Bible, looking at some texts that feel like irrelevant for me. I want to somehow look at the one who's writing the letter. Now, the person who penned the letter, like put the words to paper, was an old man named John. John. John's writing this letter, but he writes a letter that is about 65 years after Jesus had died on the cross. So he's an old man, and he says this. He starts off in verse 9. He says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that is ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Now, to us, that doesn't mean much, but the island of Patmos, he was exiled. That's what he's saying. He was exiled to an island of Patmos. So your boy John is stuck on an island. And I want you to get an idea of what that island looked like. I think I have a picture of it, maybe to the next slide if we go there. Right about, no picture? Oh, no picture. It's a really cool island. It just looks like a rock, basically. It looks like a rock. All it is, I have it in my notes. You can come look at it later. It's 13 square miles, roughly. That means it's a really small rock in the middle of the ocean. It was barren off the west coast of modern day Turkey, and it was like a dot in the ocean. And what they would do is the emperor Domitian, what he would do is he would send convicts and criminals and political uprisers exiled to this island basically to sit out there and just die. There's like hardly any trees on it. So you just have the Middle Eastern sun beating down on you all day. You don't know how you're getting food. And John is sitting out there on an island. Can you imagine being John for a minute? Like, imagine that. One, you're bored. Like, it's not like, hey, what book you gonna bring to the island? Like one of those games. You're like, no, man. Like, I'm just sitting out there trying to make it through each day because I'm bored. But I also got the heat blazing on me. I also got a bunch of convicts running around this thing. And it's not real big. It's a barren, rocky wasteland. I have no food, no energy, no company, no purpose, no hope. Waking up each day wondering, what in the world am I doing here? He was in exile. And yet, I want you to see this. God's going to show up to this guy in exile when he's like, what's going on? God speaks in the moments when life felt most barren for John. And I don't know about you, but you're probably not in a island exiled or will be anytime soon. I hope not. But you might feel like you're in a season of exile. And the temptation to do is this. You realize there's no hope. It feels like people have forgotten about you. It feels like God's forgotten about you. It feels like there's no purpose in me being out here in this barren wasteland of my life. You feel abandoned, forgotten, alone. And just maybe, God had something he needed to tell John when he was in that most desperate of a state. He wanted him to hear very clearly, and he wanted him to see very vividly something that he could not see anywhere else, something that he could not hear anywhere else. I don't know, but maybe, just maybe, God wants you to hear something tonight and see something tonight. Now watch this. I think this is fascinating. Revelation 1, verse 10, it goes on to say this. On the Lord's day. Can you guys say that? On the Lord's day. Whose day is it? The Lord's, right? So he wakes up and he thinks it's just another ordinary day. He thinks it's just a bland, barren wasteland of a day. He thinks he's good for dead, forgotten, done for. But this is not just his day. This is the Lord's day. It was an ordinary day. That was the Lord's day. And I was in the spirit and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. Now he's going to get a little freaky with this and some of the things Sam said, because it read for us. Get this. He's trying to make sense of what he's seeing and what he's hearing. If you encounter God, I think you're going to sound a little freaky too. like if we can just be honest, like you just type in AI stuff and images come and you're like, oh my gosh, what is that? I'm made of bear with lion wings or whatever. Lions don't have wings. But you know what I'm saying. You're like, you're making random crazy stuff. You're like, what is this? Could you imagine not just AI? You're not encountering that. You're encountering God Almighty. And he's like, his voice, it sounded like a trumpet, which said, write on the scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to all these churches, the letters that we have walked through together. And these churches, John, Jesus is telling John, he's like, these are real people with real troubles, and I need them to hear from me, and I need them to see me, because they're going through it. If you know his original audience, they're under a Roman Empire, and the Romans had fun. They'd play with torture. They were masters of pain. They would take Christians, and what they would do is they tie their arms to one horse. They'd tie their legs to another horse. They'd smack the horses in the butt and rip them apart. That's the people John's writing to. There were people in this day. I want you to see this, because I need you to see. Like, what they would do is they would crucify them like Jesus. They were masters of pain. They would turn them upside down and crucify them. They'd cover them in oil, light them on fire, put them on a stake, and have them hanging as lamps burning alive. They would drill a hole in their head and pour molten metal to somehow cause torture while they were alive. These are the people. John's like, I got to give them something. And you're like, man, I'm having a bad day. I hope I get something from church tonight, right? Like, they're not just having a bad day. They're going through it. And John's like, what in the world am I going to encourage them? How am I going to tell them? And Jesus is like, I got a simple truth for them tonight. But if they would somehow get their attention around this, if they would somehow see this, if they would somehow experience and know this, this simple truth would change everything. It would change everything for them. And here's what I'm believing, and here's what I've been praying, that this simple truth, I wish I would have known this sooner, and I wish I would have seen it sooner. Because I think, especially the age, the stage you're at, the sooner you can get a hold of this, the sooner it could change everything for you. Change everything. Here's what I want you to see. What Jesus says is, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who was, or who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. The simple truth is this: Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Now you're like, nobody was like, oh my gosh, that changed my life, we'll go home. No, you're like, what? Why is that relevant? I want you to walk with me here, okay? Alpha and Omega, you're like, maybe you're familiar with that, Alpha Dog or something like that. You're like, okay, I got it, right? What Jesus is saying is, Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. And so what he's simply saying is, he's saying, I'm the first and the last. And if you know that I am the Alpha and the Omega, you can go through and face anything. Jesus is the Alpha. The Alpha, what's that mean? The doctrinal truth is simply this, okay? I know you came, you're like, man, what's the doctrinal truth that I need to know for my life tonight, all right? It's this: Jesus is the beginning. Jesus is the true north. He's the focal point. He's the utmost importance. He has all the power. Jesus is the reason for the existence of everything. He is the creator. Jesus, what he is saying, he's saying everything starts with me. He's saying everything starts with me. He's the origin of everything and everyone, and he has no competition or competitor that even comes close to him. Scripture says that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And here's the deal. Whether you believe that or not, maybe you're coming in and you're like, I don't believe that at all. I believe we just kind of came from monkeys or something like that. And I'm not like dogging on that. If you're like, that's honestly, I'm like, okay. Whether you believe it or not, I just want you to know this, and you can disagree with me and still come, and I hope you do. Whether you believe that or not, it's still true. It's still true. That he is the thing that holds everything together from the beginning. Why does that matter for your life today? Why does that matter? It matters because you must start with Jesus. Now, I want to make sense of this. I think that sounds cute. I think it sounds cliche. I think it's like, oh, got it, cool. And I think you could walk out of here and not do anything with that. But you must start with Jesus. Because in all of your thinking, you're going to be tempted not to start with him. In all of your decision making, in all of your words, in all of your actions, you're going to be tempted to start other than him. And if you get a hold of this, that Jesus is the Alpha, he's not the Beta, he doesn't come second, he's the Alpha. If you can somehow get a hold of that, this means something for you, that you're not the Alpha, right? That's what that means. If Jesus is Alpha, there's nobody, like, you're not it then. Which means this, you don't start with you. That you need something outside of you to make sense of you. Tracking with me? Like, we kind of understand this. If I were to go, man, what do you guys see? I'd be like, I see black, right? But if I can somehow get away from it, you're like, oh, I see a microphone. Like if we somehow, sometimes we can get so self-absorbed, we're like, man, we just keep looking at it long enough, looking at ourselves. But if we can get outside of ourselves and see that we don't start with ourselves, you didn't just show up, you didn't get to decide to be here, you didn't like, oh man, I'm coming into 21st century. Like, you were made by God. You were created, designed, and put here on purpose with intention. You'll spend the rest of your days realizing what's most important, because you'll start with Jesus. But if you don't, then you'll spend your days searching for what matters most in your life, and you'll face your problems all by yourself. And so the question then becomes is this, like, every day you almost have to ask yourself is, what's my alpha point? Where's my starting point for my day, for my plans, for my dreams, for my problems, for my issues? What do I start with? How do you deal with your problems? You got to start with the right starting point. If you start with your problems, all you're going to get is problems, right? If you start with yourself, all you're going to get is stressed or depressed. But if you could somehow start with God and realize, oh my gosh, God understands, he sees the problems I'm going through, he sees the circumstances I'm in, he knows, he didn't just like know like right now they're happening, he knew they were going to happen from long ago. And when I can somehow understand that, you'll have a God that will give you peace in the middle of your problems and give you power in the midst of your problems. But many times we don't start with him. We start with our problems. We start with ourselves, or we start even with others. And a lot of times when you start with others, this is one of my biggest fears as being a pastor, is I'll have a lot of people come to me and ask for advice and go, what do you think I should do? And I'm like, that's a terrible question. You don't want my opinion all that much. I'm just a dude. come to me. I hope I can help you. Like, I don't want you to be like, all right, never going to him. What you're genuinely asking, and this is the weight that I feel a lot of times, is you're asking, what do you think God wants me to do? How do you think God wants me to navigate this? And I think that's the right question to ask. And if I can help you try and make sense of that, or you find other people that can help you try and make sense of that, that's what you're after. You're not just after somebody else's opinion. When you start with Jesus, everything else in your life will make sense. Starting with Jesus makes your life make sense. So if I could ask you, what's your alpha point? What's your starting place? Is Jesus your starting place? Like, when you think about your life, every thought, every decision, every plan, every hope, every dream, where do you start? Where do you start? But he not only says that, he says Jesus is the Omega. The second doctrinal truth, you can go and impress your friends with this, is Jesus is the Omega. Like, that's the theological truth. What's that mean? Jesus is the last. He's the grand finale. He is the completion of all things. He's the conclusion of all things. Jesus, he's not only saying everything starts with me, he's saying everything in existence is being pulled to meet me in the end. Like this all, and whether you believe that or not, here's the deal. If he's true in this, Like, if he's saying this and you don't believe it, then Jesus is saying, I'll meet you one day and you'll see that it's all ending with me, that it's all coming back to me. If you don't start with me, that's fine. You'll come back. And Jesus isn't like saying that as a threat. He's not like, you think you can dodge me? Come, we'll find out. Like that's not at all. Jesus is saying that as a statement of reality to go, everything is moving towards me. And do you know what's beautiful about that? It's the whole book of Revelation. If you're like, man, I'm scared to read that book, read to the end. Jesus wins. Like the end of the thing is Jesus victorious, Satan gone, sin dealt with. Your pain, your tears rolled back in a way that you're like, oh my gosh, gone. And when you understand that Jesus is the Omega, you'll realize, you know what? Not only was I do I start with him, but you'll realize, man, he created me, but he built me to live for him. And so when I realize that I'm built for him, then whenever I'm living into what he's calling me, everything seems to fit. Doesn't make it easy, but it fits. And if I choose not to, and choose like he's not the end, I'm not looking at him at the end, then I'll just go through life frustrated. You see how that works? You still with me? All right, Morgan, we got this. Here's the deal. You must start with Jesus, but you must end with Jesus. That's how it shows up. Why is that important? Because what's your omega point? What's your omega point? Not just what's your starting point, but what's your end point? Here's the deal, guys. I think this is even more true than the starting point. You all have an end point, especially in the season you're at right now. Like when you get old, one day you'll be like, oh man, I did this when I was young. I did that when I was young. And you'll tell all your stories and people will be like, oh man, he's washed up. I don't know. Like you're like, okay. But when you're young, you're like, man, I just can't wait till I get here. I just can't wait till I do this. I just can't wait till this happens for me, because you're looking at the end. What's the end? What's the end? What's the end? And you keep drawing towards the end thing. And here's the deal. It's the thing you're hoping for more than anything else to happen. That's your end. It's the thing you want most. It's the thing you long for most. And here's the deal. What you want the most, you will never get if you want it the most. You're like, really? Hear me, okay? That's worth getting a tattoo of. I saw Braden. He's like, I'm getting that on my back, man. It's going to be awesome. What you want the most, you will never get if you want it the most. Why? Because there, you talk to people. Just talk to them. There are so many people that all they wanted was all the money in the world. And you know, I talk to rich people sometimes. And yeah, you know, I talk to them all the time. No, but you talk to somebody who's rich and has a lot and they're like, it's not worth it. That's not what life's about. And everybody's like, I'd like to try, right? You talk to somebody who all they've been longing for is to be married. Talk to them 5 years in. They're like, man, I ran into that thing. You talk to somebody who all they wanted was appearances of success. They're like, man, I got it. I attained it. You got it. Whatever you want the most, you will never get if you want it the most. Because it will never last long enough for you. It will never taste as good as you think it will be. And it will never be enough for you. Why? Because God made it that way. So you would suffer? No. Because somehow that you could see that Jesus is pulling all things to himself in the end. That the thing that you long for most, all of your longings and your desires and your search ends with Jesus. The question becomes, is Jesus a means to your end, or is he your end? Because sometimes I think, I don't know about you, but I can use Jesus to get what I want. Like, hey, God, could you get me the Lamborghini, right? Like, or whatever it is that you're like, man, I just want that thing the most. God, could you just show up for me? You do that and I get that and we're good. Like, I'll do whatever you need me to do to get that. And Jesus, I think the whole time he's like, yeah, we're going to hold off on that because I actually want to show you what you want the most. Elizabeth Elliot says this. I love this. This is great. If God is my accomplice, he's failed me. What's she saying? If God's like my sidekick trying to get me what I want, he's terrible at it, right? You've tried it. like you tried using God and you're like, God, just get me what I want. Get me what I need. If he's your accomplice, he's failed me. But if God is God, then he's freed me. I don't need anything else. I've got all that I need. Psalm 16 says, in your presence is fullness of joy, which means this. If Jesus is the starting point, Jesus is the ending point, then Jesus is everything in the center. He's the in-between. He's the middle of it all. And that means this, that you must see Jesus through it all. Through your doubts, through your pains, through your trials, through your hurts, through your confusion, through your disappointments, through your mundane moments, through your exiled season, through your highs, and through your lows. You keep looking at Jesus. And when you do, you'll somehow get to heaven's perspective that you would rather, get this, that you would rather have something drilled through your head and molten metal put in there to get Jesus than anything else. That's what John somehow wanted them to get, but that's not it. That's not like everything, okay? You're like, oh, that's a sermon, that's done, we're good. Nope. Part two. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to whole part two, but I need you to see this. Revelation 1, verse 12. He like hears God say, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, I'm the starting point, I'm the ending point, I'm everything in between, I'm the center. And then it says this, I turned around. Everybody say turned around. I turned around. That literally is the word repented, which is interesting because that's what most of the letters talked about. But I turned around, and when I did, I saw the voice of the one that was speaking to me. And when I turned and I saw seven golden lampstands, and among them lampstands like was someone like the Son of Man. This is what I want you to see. He was the Son of Man. It was Jesus himself. He was dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with golden sash around his chest. The hair on his chest was white wool. The hair on his head, not chest, was white wool. Sorry about that. You're not going to get that picture of Jesus out of your head. Terrible moment. The hair on his head was as white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. And it goes on to say this, his feet were like bronzing, glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. John turned around, and what did he see? He saw Jesus. He saw glory. That's what he saw. In glory, the Hebrew word all throughout the Bible is this word kavod, which you don't need to remember that, but kavod means this, weight. It means weighty. It means heavy. It means like, oh my gosh, like there's a rock that just sank to the bottom of the water, like everything else is floating, but that thing just sank and everything around it is like moving. And you're like, that's heavy. That's heavy. That's weighty. Because when you see Jesus for who he is, you're not seeing this cute little cuddly, kind Jesus. What you're seeing is you're seeing an intense Jesus. What you'll realize when you see his glory is that he matters most. He matters most. he matters most, because when you see Jesus, you see his white hair like the snow. You'll see him perfect and faultless. When you see his eyes blazing like fire, you'll see that he has seen all things throughout all time, and he's seen all things in you. You can't hide something from him. He is God. He sees it all. His voice is louder than all of the sounds of the oceans all roaring at the same time. He is shining brighter in his face than the sun in all of its brilliance. If you were to look at the sun with your eye, you would burn your retina. Try looking at the face of God, and you would see that his words cut like a sword throughout the universe, causing storms to be silenced, and he cuts into hearts to change lives. This is not a cool, cuddly picture of Jesus. This is a Jesus who is holy. He is magnificent. He's the most complex thing that you could try and spend the rest of your days studying, and you would not even begin to understand him. He is the most terrifying and marvelous sound that you could ever hear is his voice. That he's the most beautiful thing that your eyes could ever gaze upon. And he's the most wondrous thing that your heart and your imagination could ever get caught up into. He is beyond words. He's beyond our comprehension. In one word, he's glorious. He's heavy. He's weighty. And when you get not just a glimpse of what he says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, but you get a glimpse of who he is, nothing in the universe compares to it or compares to him. Some of you have experienced that. And I know this, some of you haven't. And my hope is I can't like drum up a picture of him. AI, you try throwing that in there. I did. It doesn't look pretty. Like, it's just kind of weird. Because John's like, you can't capture this Jesus in a photo. He's so much bigger than that. But when you encounter his presence, it's like a revelation. It's like a revelation. What's revelation mean? It means uncovering or unveiling. I don't know if you saw this up here, but maybe you're sitting up here and you're like, why did they put a curtain with a bunch of stuff? And what's underneath that? Did anybody wonder that? Anybody? Yeah, a couple of you. Okay. You were waiting for this moment. All right. Big deal. Uncovering, unveiling. It's like a revelation. Somehow, when you start to see that Jesus, his glory simply means weight, you'll be like, man, he matters more than anything else. But here's the deal. Here's what you and I will do is we'll try to fill the other side of this with anything else that we can. Because Jesus, he doesn't need to mean a lot to you. That's not what his invitation was. He needs to matter most. That's what his glory is. When you encounter him, you're not like, oh man, he means a lot to me. It's like he matters more than anything else. He like outweighs completely the amount of money I could ever get. Like, he outweighs that completely. He outweighs any kind of relationship I could ever get into completely. He outweighs any career I could have, any success, any appearance, any whatever I'm chasing. He outweighs all of it. And when I start to see that he matters most to me, it will change your life completely. Because can I be honest with you? There's a lot of times I follow Jesus even still. And the way I would say it each and every day is not that he always matters most to me. Because I don't get a picture of his glory. I just am like, man, it feels hard. It feels weird. It feels awkward. It's like, where are you? I don't see you. I can't. So then what matters more to me is what y'all think of me. What matters more to me is how smart I can be. What matters more to me is how much money I can attain, or the things I can buy, or the comfortability I can live in. But when I can get a picture of his glory, his weight, I'm like, oh man, He matters the most. And you know what's crazy is when you see that he is the most divine, incredible, glorious, holy being, and you recognize that he, the divine being, died for you, what you realize is that you carry a lot of weight too. That you matter so much that heaven moved for you to be with you. That you caused the divine being of the universe to die for you out of his love to somehow be with you. And Revelation 1 ends this way: when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Like, I don't know how you walked in here tonight, but maybe you're like, man, we're going to go hang out with Jesus, hang out with my Jesus friends or whatever. And you're like, I don't know if you thought, man, I just got to turn around and I'm just going to, as though dead. And get this, then he placed his right hand on me and he said, don't be afraid. I don't know what you think about God, but those are really comforting words when you get a picture of him like that. Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last, the Alpha Omega. I'm the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever. And you're nervous about hell? Don't worry, I got the keys, and I broke you out. They're wrapped around my finger. Keys of death and Hades. And John got this picture, seeing him completely unveiled in his glory. And it realized something else to him. Not that just Jesus matters most, but his call matters most on my life. Worship team is going to come up, and I just want you to see this, because, and I don't have time to unpack it. It's going to be quick, but his call matters most. That it's not like me trying to figure out my plan or starting with me, ending with me. Life's all about me. It's like, if I start with Jesus, I end with Jesus, I realize all life's about Jesus, and he matters the most in my life, then all of a sudden what matters is like, where's he calling me? Because Paul's like, John's like, when I got the revelation from Jesus Christ in Revelation 1:1, which God gave to him to show his servants what must soon take place. You realize you're like, this life is not about me. This is so weighty. This is so real that his words, his opinions, his desires matter more than anything else. His call for my life matters more than anything else. So I want to chase, what is it, God, you want me to do? Not just what do I want to do, but I'm going after you because you outweigh everything else. So I want to invite you to do this. I just simply want to invite you. Maybe bow your head for a moment, close your eyes, get in a space where you can just be with God. Because I don't know how you walked in here. Some of you thought, man, tonight I'm just going to hear another talk about Jesus and take away a couple things. Maybe that can help me in the midst of my problems. And I hope that happens some. But my biggest prayer tonight and my hope has been that not that you would hear just a couple things about Jesus, but that you would see him in his glory. And that more than anything else, what would it look like for a room of 50 so young adults to go, God, I see you. You matter more than anything else. And your call on my life matters more than anything else. I'm starting with you. I'm ending with you. Man, what would that look like in our world? I think it would look like people of love and faith, people willing to risk it all, to give it all for God, in a world that would impact the rest of the people of the world for the good of them, the glory of God, that he would get all the weight, all the credit, all the attention. So maybe as you're sitting there, I just wonder if you need to ask God, ask yourself, this quiet moment, when I think about my life, am I starting somewhere other than Jesus? And how's it going? Maybe some of you need to ask this question. Maybe I start with Jesus, but I'm ending with something different than Jesus. So you need to ask yourself, is Jesus a means to my end? Or is he the end? Is he all that I want? And I would encourage you as we sing this next song together, don't leave this moment without asking God, God, I want to see your glory. I just want to see you. Give me a glimpse. Even if you never prayed that before, just tonight, what's stopping you? Like, just ask God, God, I want to see you. Would you show me you? Just stay in the moment. Don't rush it. Maybe for you, it's not just show me your glory. Show me the weightiness of you, but maybe for you, you're asking God, would you tell me the call? Not just show me your glory. I've seen it. I'm catching it. I'm seeing it now. But show me where it is you're calling me. Not just for comfort's sake or like a job that's going to make some money, but like, what is it, God, you want to do with my life here on this planet, this ball of dirt, in this season, right now, for you? Because I'm in. You matter more than anything else. So Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room. So we get the chance to open your word. God, I pray it wasn't dead or just like inactive or just like this Bible study that we did. But God, I pray somehow our eyes would be open. I pray we'd see you. I want to see you, Jesus. And I know right now I'll only see you in part, but one day I'll see you for all that you, it'll all be uncovered. And God, I want that end to end back the way I live today. So God, I pray for us in this room, would we see you and would you show us what it is that you might be calling us into? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.